First reading is from Romans 12, verses 3 to 8, on page 1139. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And the second reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, on page 1153. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. All are apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord.
Great job, Trish. Thank you very much. I think I'll go off this one, Gavin.
Rather than a headset, fantastic. Brilliant. Thank you. Beautifully read. Really wonderful to be with you this morning, as I said at the start. I'll finish off my movements. Just to say that I've become Mission Development Officer in Portsmouth Diocese now. Some of you may be wondering what on earth that is. So I work all over the diocese, 139 parishes, 164 churches. And really, my job is a great privilege. It's to walk alongside churches, parishes and teams, helping them to share Jesus Christ in their communities with their words and with their actions. So it's brilliant to see what God is doing all over the diocese. And we're really seeing God work in the traditional. We're seeing God work in new church plants and pioneer ministry. So it's an incredible privilege. So that's what I'm up to now. Shirley was so formational for my time, for what I'm doing now and going on to be a vicar up in Glossop when I left here. So I just can't thank this church family enough for all that they gave me and all God did in me and my family when we were here. So it's just brilliant to be back this morning. And I'm starting off on the first in a series of three about spiritual gifts that Dan gave to us visiting preachers. And this morning is, how do I know which gifts I've got? And we're following it up in the next couple of weeks with, how should we use our spiritual gifts? And why does God give spiritual gifts? So this morning, how do you know which gifts you've got? I'm looking out there and there's some legends and Christian maturity over there. So I reckon this is going to be more of a reminder this morning than anything new and fresh. But it's always good to be reminded. Spiritual gifts, what are they? They're those special God-empowered abilities that God gives to each follower of Jesus Christ. That'll be you, 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 you and you, in order to equip them to serve him. That's what they are here. And I'm just thinking about how he gives. What are they? They're gifts from God. The clue is in the name, spiritual gifts. They're a gift from God. They're not rewards for good behaviour. They're an act of grace that he gives us. They're those manifestations of grace, not marks of maturity. So they are for beginners, novices, and experts as we go through. Of course, as we become more mature in Christ, we're able to exercise those gifts more maturely, with more maturity, is my hope. They're tools for the job to build up the body of Christ, to reach people in the name of Jesus in our communities and belong. They're not just trophies for our mantelpiece. Collecting, how many have you got? How many have I got? And so forth. They are spiritual gifts and not simply our natural talents. So the Lord uses our natural talents. He uses our shape. He uses our heart and our passion. He uses our abilities. He uses our personalities. He uses our experience, both good and bad, but he adds into that mix of how we can give to the body of Christ and how we can serve him by adding these spiritual gifts that are in. Some things we heard from the passage today is that spiritual gifts are different. We got a whole kind of list there, didn't we, of all kinds of things, and there's more to add. And I'll show you a few of them in a moment. But did you hear? There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all people. They come from God. They're different, and he needs them all. Not just do we hear that there, but it's given to each of us as well. No one's exempt here. If you've said yes to Jesus, you've got the Spirit of God living in you, and God is waiting to furnish you with spiritual gifts. In verse 7 it says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To each one, each one, each one. Paul reminds us again, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So there's something there for all of us. And you heard those wonderful words that Trish wrote as well about the body coming together. That all of these gifts are needed to come together there for God's glory to be seen. If any of those gifts aren't used, the body is not working so well. It's struggling. So each of us here has an opportunity to be involved in God's good work. So coming to the question that Dan's asked me to address this morning, how do I know what gifts I've got? You could be thinking here, at some point I knew what my spiritual gifts were. For some of you, this might be something that you know about, but you've never engaged in spiritual gifts. You've never really understood them. There. So now's our opportunity to think through. This is for me, Paul tells us in God's word. How am I going to engage in them? How are you going to know what you've got? Well, the first thing, friends, look up. Look up. Ask the Lord what spiritual gifts that you've got. Seek him. Come into his presence. It says to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit there. It's an opportunity today to come afresh to God and say, Lord, how do you want to use me? How are you equipping me with spiritual gifts? How are you doing that? So we come before him in humility, don't we, to ask him how he's going to furnish us with his spiritual gifts. And when we've done that, when we've come before the Lord, he may use a variety of these different ways to now help us to discern what gifts we've got, to build up the body, to reach people for Jesus Christ. So the next one, look at the spiritual gifts. And there you go, here's a list we've got there that I've just picked out. I'm sure this isn't exhaustive, but you know, it might be that you have a spiritual gift of administration, apostleship. That's one of the trickier ones that in discerning what that is. But I think commentators agree that it's being sent out. It's those with a pioneering spirit, those that will go out and will have first ideas and will lead people. They'll be sent, they will go before. You could be one of those people to perceive the bigger picture and pioneer new things. We've got discerning between spirits. We've got the gift of evangelist, encouragement, faith, the gift of giving, healing, the gift of helps, where you are an incredible support and servant. We've got the interpretation of tongues, as well as the gift of tongues, the gift of knowledge, of mercy, of miracles, those that can pastor God's people, those that can speak prophetically, they can publicly deliver truth, that they can bring God's word to bring revelation into situations now. We've got leadership, teaching, tongues mentioned already, and wisdom. Take some time to look at those gifts from this morning's teaching. Ask God What might you be giving me at this time for this season? So look up, look at. Next one. Look back, friends. Look back. Think about the past. Is there a time when you can particularly identify God's blessing on you, where you knew you were operating in these gifts, when you thought, I've been given a real gift of leadership at that time? I knew that God gave me certain knowledge that seemed to unlock situations. There might be a time where you were particularly gifted in teaching, and you knew it was beyond your natural strength. So look back, friends, and be encouraged about how God has used you over the years. It may be he wants to reignite those gifts in you, or it may be those gifts were just for a season then, and he's looking to furnish you with new spiritual gifts for the task in hand now. So look back. What have you really enjoyed being and doing things as a Christian? Have there been things where your heart has become on fire? Things where you found energizing? Where you've heard someone else say, that was just amazing how the Lord worked through you there. Or I've seen the Lord steadily doing that in you over the years. Listen and discern what others are saying. So we look up, we look at, we look back. Look in. Look in to your heart. What do you feel passionate about? Maybe you're thinking, I just want to reach people for Jesus. I really want to be speaking about my faith, helping others to speak about my faith, helping others to speak about the story of God. You really might have that passion stirring inside you. You might have a passion for teaching. There might be certain groups in the church, certain age groups, right the way through, that you long to teach and come into the fullness of relationship with Christ. It may be that you can't get enough of ministration, that you just look at things and you think that would run so much smoother. All of these things are needed for the body to grow. We can't just have one type of person, can we? That's why God gives all of these gifts. So there will be stirrings in your heart. What excites you? If you were guaranteed success, the resources and gifts to achieve it, what one thing would you like to do most for God? Listen to that. There might be a particular group in this community. There might be something within the church that you know your heart beats for. Wouldn't it be incredible if God furnished you with his spiritual gifts, you and others and the team you're working with, to really see that come to fruition? So look in yourself. Next, look out. Ask other people to suggest what gifts you have. People see things in you that you do not see in yourself. They will notice things about you. They've been hanging out with you for months, years, decades possibly, and they would have seen things that you've maybe been blind to or worried about within yourself. They will know what they've seen God do in you. Choose people you know well. Choose people who only know you a little. Because remember, people have different ideas about who we are and see different things in each other depending on how long they've known one another. Be sure they're people that want the best for you and that want to encourage you and build you up. Encourage them to be honest and truthful. We all know that there are people out there that think they're fantastic teachers, but actually nothing sticks. We all know there's people out there that think they've got this great call to leadership, but no one's followed them to do anything. It's probably a good way of discerning. Be honest with your friends. And then we need to weigh people's insights alongside when we've looked up, we've looked at, we've looked within. So look in, look out. Finally, look around. Look around. What is needed at this time? That's another thing to put into this mix. Where is our church community at? What is needed out there in our community. What is God's call and vision upon St James's by the Park at the moment? What is needed to equip us in that vision? As we look around, we will see the things that we need. And we've got a good God who says he's going to furnish us for whatever we need to do the task which he's called us. He's going to equip us as well as we do that. So look around. There may be gaps, and that may be an opportunity for you to get on your knees to the Father and just say, Lord, can you draw up these gifts, these qualities in me, in this congregation, amongst your people, amongst this body? Can you do that at this time to equip us to what you've called us for? So what have we got? We've got look up, we've got look at, we've got look back, we've got look in, we've got look out, we've got look around. Okay, that's how you're going to discern what spiritual gifts you've got, and you're going to do that together as community. None of that works in any kind of way unless you take the second step after that, and that's to step out. Once you're identifying those things, once you're thinking about those things, that's when the risk comes, doesn't it? You can discern for your friends, say, I really notice that prophetic gift on you. I really notice that you have a pastoral gift. You can hear all of those things. You've got a gift of administration. Oh, wouldn't it be great if we had a gift of miracles in here as well? All of those things, friends can discern that. We can hear that from the Lord. We can see those passions inside of us. But if we never step out and exercise those things, we're never going to see those things come to fruition. It's no use us being clear about what our gifts are. And that helps focus, doesn't it? If people are telling us we've got a gift of leadership and we're discerning that in ourselves and in our prayers and things are looking that way, I guess we better start leading something and see if anyone follows. If no one follows, we probably haven't got the gift of leadership. And then we just say, okay, I think we got that one wrong. Lord, what are you really saying? So in stepping out, in exercising, in risking these things, we're never going to know if we've got the gift of miracles unless we pray for a miracle and it happens. So once we discern these things, part of the discernment process is to step out, to use these gifts. And that's always the trickiest thing, isn't there? Because there's risk attached to that. And I was thinking about today, and I just had a sense of there may be people inside here that just kind of know all this stuff. And yet we're kind of curled up in a ball, just going, I don't want to go near this again. Or I don't even want to go near this for the first time. Because I went near this once and I got a bit hurt about this. And I don't know that I don't want to step out in these gifts again. It made me feel a bit vulnerable. An ex criticised me and it got a bit tricky. And I wasn't quite sure whether I was operating in the Lord or not. And some of us have retreated possibly into that ball. And it's actually safer not to operate in these gifts because they bring risk. We've got to step out in faith. We might have to look daft from time to time. We might have people saying that we're looking a bit keen or we're looking a bit naive. All of those things that hold us back. So I just want to encourage you, if you sense yourself curled up in a bit of a ball today, to give that to God, to say sorry to him and open yourself up once more to him. I just think the world can be shifted a little bit from black and white telly to colour telly when we use and operate in our spiritual gifts. And I want to say there's an important point. If you're curled up in a ball, if you're reticent about these things, then friends, you're denying the body being as brilliant as it can be. We want a great functioning kidney, and we want brilliant eyes, and we want great toes, and all the rest of it. We know, don't we? As things in our bodies start to unfunction, not in the way that they used to, we know that we don't operate to full health and full ability. Wouldn't that be great if in St James's by the Park, people sought the Lord and played their part in the body of Christ that Paul talks so beautifully about? That we wouldn't deny the body functioning in all its beauty and all its wonder. Just going to say one more thing before I end as well. It's just a thought to leave you with. These gifts are to build up the church, to build up God's body. I just wonder as well, as we see from the Gospels, you remember Jesus with the woman and the well? You remember he had a specific bit of knowledge that unlocked her life there? Of course, we saw miracles, we saw pastoring, we saw all of those things that drew others to Jesus Christ. If we took our spiritual gifts outside of the church building and outside into our communities, into mission, I just wonder what we would see out there in our communities if we had the courage to do that together. Sometimes that's tricky on your own, isn't it? But I wonder, as you identify your gifts, that you think about that challenge as well. That this community and the world would see that Jesus is alive and his spirit is at work. What a wonderful missional tool those gifts are. You've been very patient. It's been great to speak with you. And I hope that was useful in some way to you this morning. I'm just going to pray for you before we say the creed. Let's just say sorry to start off with. If we have run away from spiritual gifts, if we've neglected spiritual gifts, if we've been hurt by spiritual gifts in the past and the way that they've been used, let's just come for a moment to say, Lord, I'm sorry and I give this to you. Just in the quiet, do that. Lord, forgive us and restore us. And now, maybe just with open hands out, if you feel comfortable doing that, it's just no magic about it. It just shows that we're willing to receive. Let's do the first part of those steps. Let's look up. Lord Jesus, come. Show us what gifts we have, gifts that you want to give us. We just use these few moments of quiet to receive from you. That is our first step, Lord. And would you empower us by your Spirit, speak to us by your Spirit, as we look around, as we look in, as we look at, as we look out. Come, give us discernment, and by the power of your Spirit, give us courage to step out in spiritual gifts for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.